Welcome to Conversations. I'm your host, Doug Duin, and thank you for spending some time with us this weekend. Joining me this segment is Aubrey Zolli, the Senior Development Manager at the American Cancer Society. Join us as we look at issues that affect us here at home in our community and across the nation. Today, we'll find out about breast cancer risk and prevention. Aubrey, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Doug.
Yeah. First, can we talk a little bit about the different breast cancer risks and what are some general things people should be aware of?
Sure. So there are definitely some risk factors that people can focus on in terms of helping to limit their opportunities of getting breast cancer. First, it's important to note that about 10% or less of breast cancer is hereditary. So something that I hear a lot in my work is, well, I don't have it in my family history. Less than 10% of breast cancers or cancers in general are actually hereditary. And so having a family history doesn't necessarily mean that you are, you know, more likely or less likely to get it. So some of the key things that we have found through lots of research are drinking alcohol. It's best actually not to drink alcohol. So we've actually seen a correlation with high alcohol consumption and breast cancer. So if you do drink, have no more than 2 drinks a day for men and 1 a day for women. Getting to and staying a healthy weight. So being overweight or obese before or after menopause may have different effects on certain different types of breast cancer. So maintaining a healthy weight is also something that's critical. And then getting physical, you know, getting your heart rate up, doing activity, so moderate activity. So we're looking at, you know, just a few times a week getting out there. Walking is great, but just maintaining a more physically active life. It doesn't have to be, you know, CrossFit, but definitely getting your heart rate up and getting walking, moving around, because we have seen that as well. Having limited physical activity can certainly increase people's risks of breast cancer. So then, of course, if you do have a family history of it, that is something you certainly want to talk with your medical provider about, because early detection, if you know that you have a hereditary cancer in your family history, then there are a lot more options for you in terms of prevention. So if you do know that you have that, or if you've been tested and have any sort of genes, you might hear the BRCA gene or the BRCA gene is a breast cancer gene that we've been able to identify. If you have someone in your family that's had breast cancer and they've tested for that and you've tested for that, there are a lot more options when we know if we have that in our family history.
Yeah, it's very honestly, you kind of caught me off guard there with the less than 10% of it is hereditary. I'd always assumed it was much higher. So what would you say is it more behavioral or is it possibly a little bit of environmental as well that helps increase these risks?
You know, all of those things. One of the most interesting things with breast cancer that we've learned is there isn't necessarily a one, you know, pinpointed thing that we can say, if you do this, your risk of breast cancer is this. You know, breast cancer is one of those things that, I mentioned with the preventative things that you can do, there isn't necessarily things that are happening that we can really identify that. So there are a variety of things, you know, diet, environment, family history, all of those things play into it. And really the you know, even breast tissue density is something that we've looked at more closely, you know, just in terms of the type of density that a woman's breast has or a man's breast have, that can determine too their early detection access. Because, for example, if you have a more dense breast tissue, sometimes it can be harder to read a mammogram. And so folks that have a higher dense breast tissue will be asked to do some more screenings, whether that is an ultrasound or something that's a little bit more in depth so that they can see more clearly. So there's a variety of things really that comes into it in terms of that.
Now, you briefly mentioned men, and I always find it a little curious because it's not something that's talked about a lot of. Do you know how many approximately men versus women are impacted? Is there a percentage? Is there things that men should be more aware of that we never talk about breast cancer in men? What should we be thinking about?
That, you know, it's a great thing that you brought that up, because that is something that is not as commonly talked about, but it definitely is out there. And so with men, I mean, right now our numbers in terms of breast cancer, we're looking in 2022, Over 287,000 wow. new cases of invasive breast cancer will be diagnosed in women. About 51,000 of those will be DCIS, which is ductal sarcoma in situ. That's in the actual duct of the breast. And about 43,000 women will die from breast cancer. As far as men, those numbers are lower, but they still have a chance. And a lot of that, one of the interesting things, we're actually working with a research group out of the University of Washington. They're called Connect My Variant, and they have been working on that hereditary breast cancer that I was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And they've been working with men a lot so that they can look at the male genes and where they might have had breast cancer in their family history, so that those men can then talk to the women in their lives so that they can get tested. Because a lot of times people think that it's only with their mother's side of the family where they potentially could get breast cancer. But there are plenty of people who have those genes and that hereditary cancer on their father's side. And so breast cancer is something that we are trying to be more vocal about in the male community and talking with men about it. One of our advocates with the American Cancer Society is a male breast cancer survivor, and he has shared his story. We have information on our cancer.org website that gives information for men and women, of course, about breast cancer. And again, the key is early detection. And so just like we tell women to know your body and be checking your body, men should be doing the same thing.
So let's talk about early detection. How do we make sure that we're being screened? What are things that we should be looking for in ourselves to know that we should go visit a doctor? What's the overview of making sure that we're healthy this way?
You know, again, knowing your body, you are your own best advocate. And this is something that we constantly are reminding people to know your body. And when you go to a doctor, talking with your doctor, if you feel something, advocate for yourself. And if you walk out of your office feeling like, you know, I don't really think that they were taking me seriously, I feel like I want to get this checked, go get a second opinion. Because early detection, we have so many more options when people find their cancer at early stages. So having early detection access for everybody is something that the American Cancer Society is incredibly passionate about. Health equity is something that until we are treating everyone truly for cancer, we have no way of getting to our goal of eradicating it as a disease.
Yeah. And can I ask, so as a guy, we're told about things like colon cancer, right? And so we know that we're supposed to have checkups starting, it used to be 50, then they talk about 45, then they say maybe if you have risks, it's down to 40. With breast cancer, is there an age when you should start taking this more seriously? Or is this something you should be checking for basically throughout your life?
You know, it depends on your family history, but yes, we do actually have an entire set of guidelines based on your age and who should be getting screenings when. I have a whole list of them, and if the best place to go is to our cancer.org website, and it will tell you there exactly the age for everything. But with breast cancer, we recommend women about 45 start getting their mammograms. It depends, again, if you have family history. If you have a family history, then we certainly encourage people to get their cancer screenings earlier. For example, my mom and my aunt are both breast cancer survivors. And so I started my breast cancer mammograms at age 40, just as a way to, you know, be preventative. My mom was in her mid-40s when she was diagnosed. And so about 45 is when we recommend for the general public. But again, if you have a family history of it, we certainly encourage you to talk with your medical provider and potentially get in there at an earlier age.
Well, I love when I'm talking with somebody and you answer all of my questions before I ask them, because it means that you know what you're talking about. And I can totally, I feel confident in the information you're giving me. So since you've done such a good job with that, how about we move forward to what are some events you have coming up that people can learn more, participate in, and what kind of impacts can they make through these events?
Absolutely. So the American Cancer Society is, you know, we are an organization that is based on research. We are the number two funder of cancer research next to the U.S. government, something that is, you know, a very important fact that a lot of people don't realize that we have funded. We are the number two funder for cancer research, but we also do a variety of other things like advocacy work. So we have our American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, which is our legislative nonpartisan branch of the American Cancer Society. And they're out there working directly with the lawmakers lawmakers to, you know, pass bills for tobacco usage. We've been working really diligently right now on, you know, passing laws against flavored tobacco, which target minority groups and youth. So there's opportunities within the American Cancer Society, Cancer Action Network, to get involved. If you're passionate about legislation and being with lobbying and working with lawmakers, that's an opportunity where we always need volunteers to get involved. We also have a variety of events that we do in the Seattle area. As far as breast cancer, we have our Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Walk. We have three events, one in Seattle that is on October the 22nd. We have one in Snohomish that's on October the 29th. And we also have our Southwest Washington that takes place in the Pierce Thurston County area, and that's on October 15th. And those are 5K walks. They're non-competitive. They're not races. They're family friendly. You can register a team for free. There's no registration fee. It is a fundraising event, so we certainly encourage fundraising. And we also have a variety of other events like galas and golf events. So in Washington State, if you are interested in participating in any events, you can go to our cancer.org website and look for events in our area. If you're interested specifically in Making Strides, our website is makingstrideswalk.org, and you can search for a walk in your area. And then we also have opportunities for volunteerism. We always need volunteers, both at our events, as well as, like I mentioned, our advocates for the ACS CAN, and then in just general volunteering. We have programs in Washington State that are vital and crucial to cancer patients, like our Road to Recovery, which we are really excited just launched. It was on hold because of COVID. And what it is it's a rideshare program where we have volunteer drivers that go and pick folks up who do not have transportation and give them access to doctor's appointments. There's something you'll hear said that your zip code is actually more important than your genetic code when it comes to cancer. And unfortunately, that is true because a lot of barriers exist for folks like transportation or housing. And so our Road to Recovery program offers people the opportunity to get to their appointments. And we are recruiting new drivers. So if you are interested in driving folks to their cancer treatment, we have a spot for you as a Road to Recovery driver. And then the biggest thing that we're really excited about this year, our Making Strides events, we are doing Pink at the Park at the October 2nd game. The Mariners game down at T-Mobile Park. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's actually the last Sunday game of the season. And hopefully the Mariners continue their streak, because that'll be a very exciting game at the end of the year. We have a block of tickets that we are selling through our website, which is mariners.com/pinkatthepark. And $10 of each ticket sold through that ticket block goes back to our Making Strides walk. And then folks also get a special Pink at the Park limited edition t-shirt. And so we're really excited about that coming up as our first annual Pink at the Park.
Again, I'm talking with Aubrey Zolli, the Senior Development Manager at American Cancer Society. So, one, thank you so much for joining me. Two, again, that is a lot of information. Where can somebody go to have like reminders for these events or just to learn more?
Cancer.org. That is our main website for the American Cancer Society. And you can find so much information on pretty much every cancer that exists out there. You can see the research that we're doing. You can look at where the actual research grant money is funded, in which states and to which cancers. And then you can also see the different events that are happening in the area, specifically for Making Strides, which is coming up in October. That's our next round of events. That website is makingstrideswalk.org.
Oh, perfect. Aubrey, thank you so much. One, I will see you there. I will try not to be as competitive as I normally am, but I make no promises. Thank you so much for joining me.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
And thank you for listening. Conversations is a public affairs program of this station.